Hello, I'm Mike Salem. My dad, Pastor Salem, loved to spread the good news of Jesus to provide hope and encouragement to people all over the world through his biblical teachings and sermons. You will experience that truth from God's Word in today's message. Now let's join Pastor Salem.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. Another week has rolled by, and here we are, all of us gathering together around the throne of grace in heaven. Oh, what a glorious service, what a glorious time. And today we're going to have a sermon, and wow, another one on the parables, our final one for this month. And it's the parable of the pearl of great price. And is it ever wonderful, and it has some wonderful truths, so stay with us. But I want to read some of the letters, first of all, because we hear from some of you and you say, oh, we'd love to hear more of those letters. And one person even wrote and said, well, could we have more letters and less sermon? Well, I vetoed that fast. But here we are. I'm going to share four letters today. First is from Clear Lake, Iowa. Thank you so much for your wonderful services about sermon about heaven. Some of the things you talked about I knew, but there were several things that were new to me. I have complete peace about going to be with the Lord, but now I know better what to expect. I'm in the final stages of COPD from having asthma so bad when I was younger. I would love to receive the new song. I look forward to seeing you in heaven someday and look forward to shaking your hand. God bless you and your ministerial staff. Well, I'm going to look forward to shaking a lot of hands in heaven. I just can't wait. I wish I could see you. You can see me, and I can, well, on shortwave, you can't see me. You can just hear me. A lot of people would rather hear me than see me, so you're not missing anything on shortwave. But she said she'd like to have the new song. Now, the new song is a little publication we put out every month. It's a Bible study, and this month it's a little Bible study dealing with the soul. Guard that soul. How precious is your soul? And then we also have excerpts from letters, and we have the sermons and their topics. And so I'll give you the address in just a few minutes. Get your pencil and paper ready, and just you put down new song, and we'll be glad to send it. Here's Delray Beach, Florida. God bless you, Pastor, and all those who serve you with you. When you no longer can go to church and church comes to us, it's an amazing blessing. I especially enjoy the letters. There you are, see? You reach so many people, needy people. Thank you for helping me to believe that my youngest brother, who ended his own life, will meet me in heaven. God is good. He's talking about a little book that we have. If a Christian commits suicide, will he go to heaven? And the answer is yes. And it's all the Bible. And I'll tell you how you can get that in just a few minutes. Here's one from Pocahontas, Iowa. Thank you for leading my husband to Christ. For over a year, we watched your program together and we learned about the Lord. Now I wait to join him. Now, let me tell you something. Here's a man that for a year listened to our service and accepted the Lord. And he did it because we preached the Bible and the way of salvation. Now, all of you that have prayed for the Christian Worship Hour and all of you that sent gifts had a part in the salvation of that man's soul. And when you get to heaven, he'll thank you that you had a part in saving him from hell. And so we're just so glad that we can have an opportunity to give, to get the ministry out to the people. The people that need the Lord have to have the Lord. One more letter, and listen to this. Listen to this letter. Davenport, North Dakota. Hi, it's me, Livia. I'm sending $29 from what I have tithed from my allowance. Please use this for your ministry. I still pray for you every day. The triplets are good. She has triplet siblings. Guess what? I just finished first grade. God bless you, love, Livia, 7.5 years old. Wrote it herself. And she has siblings, 2 brothers and a sister. They're 4.5 years old. And they have their little Bible studies together. And look at Olivia here. She says, I'm sending $29 that I tithe from my allowance. That's the thing. When the minute that child is old enough to handle a penny, have them pay, give a tithe to the Lord. That's what my mother did. And when you give 10%, the first thing you do when you get your gift or your money, you make that tithe to the Lord. And when you're doing that, you're saying, Lord God, you're the Lord of my life and the Lord of everything I have, and here's my tithe. And that's what this little girl is doing. So if you'd like to get the new song, or if you'd like to get the booklet on salvation or the booklet on suicide, or you'd want to send a gift, and I hope some of you send a gift, you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour, and that's Box 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402 USA. If you want it, you can send it on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. But we need your help and we need your prayers, and we'd love to hear from you. So I hope you'll write. Now, here's the pearl of great price. This is a parable that Jesus gave. And you know how long it is? 15 verses? 2 verses. 2. It's in Matthew 13, 45 and 46. And again, Jesus said, and again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. That's the parable. And you can write a book on it. It's the word of God, the living word of God, inexhaustible. And so Jesus is telling here, it's a figure of a treasure. A treasure that's sought, and the treasure is purchased, and then you find some new people coming in. You have the merchant man, and the treasure here is named. The treasure is a pearl, and the merchant man is seeking pearls, and in his search he's found one pearl of great price. It's an exceptional one. He had never seen anything like it before, and so we see the merchantman seeking possession of something to purchase. And that treasure he finally founds is a pearl of great price. It's a pearl of great price. And so he goes and sells all that he has and purchases that pearl. Now, to understand this parable, we need to zero in on just two things. The merchant man and the pearl. That's all we're thinking about today. The merchant man and the pearl. And of the two, the pearl takes center stage. That is, the emphasis is upon the pearl of great price. So keep that in mind if you want to understand this parable. Now, the popular feeling and the popular teaching on this parable is that Jesus is the pearl of great price, and the merchant man is a sinner, and the sinner seeks after Christ, the pearl, and after all that he has, and gives all that he has to possess Jesus, pictured as the pearl. So the sinner is the one who seeks and purchases and possesses the Lord. There's even a hymn about that. And the hymn goes like this. I found the pearl of greatest price. My heart doth sing for joy. And sing I must for Christ I have. Oh, what a Christ have I. Now that's very good advice, really. We ought to seek after Christ. We ought to give all we have to get close to him. We ought to put him first in our life. We ought to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We ought to look at him for his precious possession, the most precious possession in the world. We ought to forsake all the world for him. That's all true, but that's not what this parable is about. That's not what it's about at all, because I'll tell you why. Because we can never purchase our salvation. We can never purchase our salvation. Most everybody thinks we can. And you go out and talk to people, and they'll say, oh, I'm going to get to heaven. You say, how are you going to get to heaven? Oh, I'm doing good works. I do more good works than bad works. Well, listen to this, Romans 4, verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. If you're getting to heaven by works, it doesn't count a bit. Look at Isaiah 64, verse 6. But we all are like an unclean thing, and our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That's what God says your good works are. That's how good they are before you're saved. After you're saved, then they count for a rare reward, but they have nothing to do with salvation. You're saved by faith alone. In Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. Try to make it any plainer than that. I don't know how you could do it. So let me make it as plain as day. The picture is not a picture of the sinner seeking Jesus. The parable is a picture of Jesus seeking the sinner. Now keep that in mind. When we're done, if you don't like it, you don't need to send any offering in. So keep that in mind. Let's look at the pearl itself. First of all, real pearls are the product of a living organism. That is not true of any other precious stone, the sapphire, the diamond, the ruby, the emerald, none of it. But this pearl is by an living organism that brings it to pass. And of all the precious stones, it's the product of something being where a person, when this little oyster, some little grain of sand gets into it, and then so that it begins to build around that, and it antagonizes and it hurts that oyster, and so he starts building with a knocker or a special fluid, layer upon layer upon layer upon layer, and lo and behold, a pearl is formed. A living organism injured by a grain of sand or some other thing, injured and hurt, and out of that injury and that hurt comes a beautiful pearl. Thirdly, a pearl then is a thing of priceless value, a thing of great and wondrous beauty, a thing used for the embellishment of kings. And the great value of the pearl is in its ability to decorate, to adorn, to make things beautiful. You can use diamonds to cut impervious objects, but the pearl is good for just one thing, adornment, embellishment. It has the thought of adding to something. And the word pearl means pure, and purity comes because of the wounding, the symbol of purity, and out of that wounding comes purity. So the first thing we see is the pearl, and that pearl comes from, and what it has. Keep that in mind. That center thing is that pearl. Then you have the merchant man. And when here we have a man seeking this goodly pearls, this beautiful, these bird of pearls, and then he finds this one beautiful pearl. He was not seeking them for himself. He was seeking them for someone else. And so he's going to adorn the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, God in heaven. And he's looking for this pearl. This merchant man is none other than Jesus Christ, because we're told very plainly in the other parables that the merchant man or the servant or the man looking is the Son of Man, is Jesus. The Son of Man is Jesus. So that's as far as the parable goes. Well, that's the story of the parable. And he looks and he finally finds it and he purchases it. Now we need to not wonder then who the man is, because the man, as I say, is Jesus. And what is the man doing? He's seeking for pearls. And he finds one. When he finds it, he sells all that he has, and he purchases the pearl of great price. Jesus is showing us that his mission to the world is this. This parable, he's in heaven, and he's looking down on heaven upon earth, and he sees this beautiful pearl that could be there. And for it's heaven's perspective. And so the merchantman seeks, and then he comes and he finds. For instance, look at here. Jesus says, having found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all his had. He went and sold. He went. Where did he go? He went from heaven to earth to purchase this pearl. And that means that he comes to purchase. And so Jesus comes from heaven. He sees this pearl. He pays that price. He desires to have that pearl for his own. And so he purchases it with his own blood. And that pearl is a poor lost sinner that he's going to redeem and make into the child of God. That's what we're told in 1 Peter verses 18 and 19. Peter says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And so that jewel or that pearl is one, it's the souls of the lost. And Jesus sheds his blood and pays for the price. He pays his own blood to purchase that soul and to save that soul. That's what the story is about. St. Paul describes the same thing. He says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their righteousness unto them, and hath committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation, the word of reconciliation. And so there's the picture, comes to save us and shed his blood and pay for our sins. Thank God for Jesus. Now let me look at a couple of questions here. What was the purpose of this pearl of great price? What was the purpose of the redeemed? What is the reason for all of this? Why does he want that pearl anyway? To that answer, we need to turn to the book of Ephesians, and it tells us of the value of that pearl and why he comes. It's called the invisible church. It's called the body of Christ, that precious jewel, that precious pearl. And Jesus can see out in the world, into this field. He can see those souls that could become a precious jewel, and he pays the price for them. And so Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 1, he says, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance of the saints? That is, what God gains and we gain, and the wonderful things as we come to Jesus Christ and adorn the God, and we're part of the God the Father, and we're part of embellishing that of him, and we bring glory to his name. And so God is enriched, we're told in Ephesians. And that doesn't mean we can make God's glory any better because it's perfect, but it means that God is enriched, he is embellished, he can show his glory through his church, through his people. And that's what he does, and we become, he says, I count in Malachi, he says, they're my precious jewels, the people that comes to the Lord. Now look at Ephesians chapter 5, and you'll see something else. You'll see Christ also in chapter 5, Christ also loved the church, gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it, having cleansed it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present the church to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And so you see here, the sand that enters and wounds the living organism becomes a beautiful pearl. And so our sins hurt Jesus Christ and hurt God, and so he came and paid that price, and because of our sins and his agony, he brings forth this beautiful church, this beautiful body of Christ. And when we get to heaven, God is going to use us in a wonderful way. Two things for at least we're going to do. We're going to teach the angels something. Did you know that? The Christians, the believers, the church, this precious jewel, this precious pearl, we're going to teach the angels something. We're going to sing, for one thing. And I'm not saying we'll sing better than the angels, and I sure know I won't, but we're going to sing, and we're told what we're going to sing in heaven. It's in Revelation 5, verses 9 and 10. This is what the believers will sing, and they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, and for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto God and kings, our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. We sing about being redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Let's sing a little more in the churches maybe, huh? And talk about a little bit. We don't talk about the blood of Christ, but this wonderful, wonderful Jesus singing, and when I sing, he loved me and gave himself for me. The angels won't know what I'm singing. They'll marvel about it because Jesus never died for the angels. He didn't have to die for the angels because they never sinned. I'm the poor lost sinner. And when he died for me, I was lost and there was no way out. And I was at the gates of hell. And this Jesus, this beautiful Jesus, he redeemed me. The angels don't know what it's like to be redeemed. There's even a song that goes like this. They're singing up in heaven such as we have never heard, where the angels sing the praises of the Lamb upon the throne. Their sweet harps are ever tuneful, and their voices always clear. Oh, that we might be more like them while we serve the Master here. And then the chorus goes like this. Holy, holy is what the angels sing, and I expect to help them make the courts of heaven ring. But when I sing redemption story, they shall fold their wings, for never angels never felt the joy that my salvation brings. We're going to teach the angels something. They're going to see something because they never sinned and they never were redeemed. They didn't need to be redeemed. And then we're going to, second thing we're going to do, show forth the glory of God. We can't add anything to God's glory, but we can be through us. He can show his glory. And so we're going to be used for him. And so there is the pearl of great price. And it's the redeemed people of God. It's the invisible church. It's the church of the living God. It's the body of Christ. Like someone put it, he found the pearl of greatest price. My heart doth sing for joy, and sing I must, for I am his, and he is mine for aye. And then I thought about something else, the beautiful city of God. And St. John describes the foundation of that city. And the foundations of the wall of the city, he said, and the foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. And then he lists them. Jasper, sapphire, chalcedony, emerald, sardonyx, sardius, chrysolite, beryl, topaz, chrysoprase, jacinth, amethyst. He tells about those, all of these wonderful jewels. And then he talks about the 12 gates of heaven. And when he looks at those 12 gates, will they be marred, diamond-studded gates, beautiful, bright-shining gates? No, John says, they're going to be 12 gates, and they're going to be, each gate is going to be one huge pearl. Through the redemption of Jesus Christ, we enter into heaven, because that tells how he was wounded and how that out of that wound came that beautiful salvation, pictured here as a pearl. And through Jesus Christ, we enter into heaven, wonderful heaven. Frederick Bloom was a pastor who fell into deep sin. He finally even spent some time in prison. But when he got out of prison, he was restored. And he got back to God and got back to Jesus. And he became a pastor until his death in 1927. While he was in prison, or shortly after he got out of prison, he wrote this. Love divine, so great and wondrous, deep and mighty, pure, sublime, coming from the heart of Jesus just the same through tests of time. Like a dove when hunted, frightened as a wounded fawn was I, broken-hearted, yet he healed me, he will heed the sinner's cry. Love divine, so great and wondrous, all my sins he then forgave. I will sing his praise forever, for his blood, his power to save. In life's eventide at twilight, at his door I'll knock and wait. By the precious love of Jesus, I shall enter heaven's gate. And then this chorus after each verse. He, the pearly gates, will open so that I may enter in. For he purchased my salvation and forgave me all my sin. So the parable of the great price is, what do we take from it? Well, we take this, that God's Son in heaven saw that treasure could be a great pearl, and he came down and he shed his blood and he purchased us, and we're purchased by the blood of the Lamb. And when we receive him, we become his child, and we're going to be adorned and embellish the great God of heaven. We're going to be a part of his treasure and his goodness. And we're not just going to be doing that for now. We're going to do that forever and ever. And so what we have to do is to be sure that you have Jesus Christ. Because if you don't have Jesus Christ, you have no hope in this world or the world to come. And you have to be born again. And Jesus tells us, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And so you can be a part of that treasure, but you aren't until you're redeemed. And you're not redeemed until you pray and say, dear Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner. I ask you to please come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll forsake them and I'll follow you the best I can. And I thank you, Jesus. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, you're a child of God and you're part of that pearl, that great pearl of great price. And you'll never lose it. You'll always have it. And so if you accepted Jesus, if you made that prayer And I have a feeling that there are multitudes praying that prayer. If you want a little help with your Christian life, to get started in the Christian life, you write to us. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002-2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, or ChristianWorshipHour.com. And if you worry about the money, don't worry about where the money goes, because we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. Now we're going to have a prayer. And every time we pray for the persecuted church. And so today we're going to pray, in our prayer today, we're going to pray for Iraq. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for all of those who've turned to you. And Lord, we pray for those who have drifted away. Maybe they knew you and they drifted away and they can come back. You want them to come back. You'll receive them. Help them to come. And then, dear Lord, we think about the people, our brothers and sisters in Iraq. Oh, how they suffer. Oh, my God. Many of them have died for you, Lord. And that makes us stronger, because that's part of our heritage. That's part of our family. And if part of our family dies, we'll all die if we have to, because they encourage us and help us. And so, dear God, help them to know they've not died in vain, but they've honored Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. And then we pray for those who are on beds of sickness and those who are shut-ins and don't know which way to turn, Lord. And I would just pray that they'll trust in you and know that you're with them. Underneath of the everlasting arms, help them to lean on you. Pray for the young people, Lord, having to make big decisions in life and don't know which way to turn. You've told us that you'll guide us if we just trust you and look to you and look to your word and search your word, and you'll help us and help us. Oh, we love you, Lord, and we thank you all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before I close, I just want to urge you, if you want to help us, you need to write to us. We got it on the screen there, box 2002. We're Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, USA, or ChristianWorshipHour.com. So God bless you, and we'll stay on as long as God provides. And we believe that we're going to stay on because we believe we're called of the Lord. And so we'll be doing that, and so we'll be looking forward next week. We're going to be back, Lord willing. And we'll gather again around the throne of grace. All around the world, we're bound into one body. And Jesus sees every one of us and knows every one of us personally and loves us and helps us. And that's what we're going to do next week. And so in the meantime, God bless you. And we just watch over you and just put your faith in Jesus. And remember, God loves you. Remember, the Christian Worship Hour loves you. And we pray for you. And we're so glad we can minister in some little way to help you along the way to heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.